The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. It was the festival of the dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe, because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Let us pray. Gracious God, I am thankful that we can meet you here in this holy place. Continue to be near us and guide us as we seek to follow more closely after you. In the name of God, amen. Happy Mother's Day. If you are celebrating Mother's Day, congratulations. Why are we celebrating Mother's Day? Some of us have had challenging childhoods. For some of us, our mothers were absent, or if they were present, we often wished that they weren't. For others of us, our moms were pretty amazing people. They helped mold us into the talented, thoughtful, and resilient people that we are today. Maybe we are celebrating the idea of motherhood, the idea of a mom who loves and cares for her children. There are so many prototypical moms: the 1950s mother, the frontier mom in the Wild West, the Roseanne Barr mom, the senator mom, the single mom who goes to night school and works a day job to support her family. Each of their children knows their mom's voice. Similarly, Jesus likens his voice not to a mother's, but to a shepherd's. "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me." Jesus makes this analogy when a group of men at the temple are acting like petty little children. Jesus is in the most holy place in all of Israel. He's celebrating a relatively new Jewish holy feast, Hanukkah, a feast whose sole purpose is to commemorate the Jewish temple being rededicated just 100 or 200 years before. Instead of feasting, Jesus' adversaries are picking a fight. They're crowding in on him, encircling him, invading his personal space, and attempting to bully him. This confrontation is accelerated when they use not just their bodies, but their words. Their words express flat-out annoyance with Jesus. Completely and totally, maddeningly annoyed. They demand that Jesus quit speaking in parables and proverbs and tell them plainly if he's the Messiah. Now, chances are that on this winter day, they weren't asking this question because they're genuinely curious. They, just like children, seek to entrap him. Just like children know how to trick their parents into divulging a secret, so now these men seek to trap Jesus with his words. They are the National Enquirer, the TMZ of the first century. Yet instead of being sucked into their anxiety about whether or not this person or that person is the Messiah, or feeling threatened by them invading his personal space, Jesus responds non-anxiously. Jesus knows exactly who he is when he says, "The Father and I are one." Jesus describes the emotional and spiritual security that comes from being a child of God. Jesus is confident that we are in the hands of God, and absolutely nothing can pluck us out of God's hands. Nothing. Even these deranged religious bullies haunting the porticos of the temple cannot silence the truth that we are all in God's hands. Even when our expectations are warped or our understanding of who we are or how God sees us is distorted, God's loving nature never fails us. God is forever reaching out to us, reminding us of our love and our value. Just as a mother cares and provides for her children, we too, even in the midst of our trouble, can feast during the winters of our lives. Even when our final days, or even when our days are dark and in grief, all the days of our life, all of our life and into eternity, God will be there. God will never die on us. I remember when I was about 5 or 6 years old, I remember when I had this deeply troubling thought occur to me. And I was terrified. This thought terrified me to my core. I realized that the people that I loved the most, my mom, my dad, my grandparents, and my sister, they were going to die someday. And I remember my elementary school self crying into a noise-silencing pillow. And for several evenings, I did this. I sobbed in my pillow because I just didn't want to experience the loss of living without them. I was terrified. And I felt all alone. I wish that I would have known then that God never dies on us. No matter what season you or I face, we will forever be in God's hands. Gently held. Not crushed, but gently held, like our best idea of a mother caring for her child. So we also are cared for in God's tender hands. Is accepting love just a matter then of mentally consenting to our belief that God cares for us and holds us? Yes. Perhaps. But the things of God are more than just a mental nod of assent. Sometimes we need to let the truth seep into us. Sometimes we need to remind ourselves of the way that God sees us. Like a mother speaking words of truth to her children, reminding them that they are an honest child, that they are a valuable child, that they are a significant child, and that they are a child capable of growth. So God speaks words of affirmation to us time and time again. And eventually, we, as the children of God, will begin and continue to believe in our hearts and minds that we are loved, that we are valued, and that our lives matter. Even if it takes a while for this transformative love to work our way into our lives, it's an ongoing, lifelong effort. Yet here's the thing. The work of the Holy Spirit in our lives is so valuable, so enriching, that it's possible for us never to get tired of God's work. We can choose to never become weary of opening ourselves up to the Holy Spirit's life-affirming work. Sometimes on earth, we get a glimpse of how God feels about us. Maybe it's reading the scriptures. Maybe it's in the whispering of the Holy Spirit. Or maybe it's the love of someone who shares our journey of life with us. Maybe it's our mom who echoes God's love for us. Maybe it's our dad or our grandparents or our spouse or our closest friend. Or maybe even someone here at church, a coworker. Whoever it is that loves you, it only echoes God's great love for you. A love that lasts forever and always. Amen.